Welcome to the special bonus segment of the Exploring Boys Education episode, Balanced Boys. Make sure to go back and listen to Season 6, Episode 1, before diving into this bonus segment, which delves into the fascinating world of IBSC Action Research and its transformative impact on boys' education. We'll hear from a diverse range of educators who embarked on journeys of inquiry and discovery, exploring various aspects of promoting healthy masculinity within their school communities. From fostering friendships and empathy to navigating vocal changes and embracing vulnerability, these educators' stories offer valuable insights and inspiration for anyone invested in the well-being and development of young men. We start this journey with Carla Boniolo from Westlake Boys High School in New Zealand. Her insights into the importance of fostering friendships among boys in the context of her debate team are truly inspiring. Carla's surprising discovery that her action research fostered stronger bonds among the boys underscores the often overlooked importance of social connectedness for young men. It's a reminder that as educators, we have a unique opportunity to not only impart knowledge, but also to shape the social and emotional development of our students.
Kia ora koutou, nau mai, haere mai. My name is Carla Boniolo and I am a teacher at Westlake Boys High School on the beautiful north shore of Auckland in New Zealand. I am first and foremost an English teacher. I also lead a Year 13 Extension English course and I am the teacher in charge of the scholarship program at Westlake. My extracurricular role is teacher in charge of debating, and it is one that I cherish. I've been a debating coach for a few years now, and my premier junior debate team is the group that I worked with for my action for this year's action research project. Now, my action, as I've mentioned before, was with my debate squad. So this was a group of 12 boys, and they didn't make the quarterfinals of their debate division. And I had noticed in the feedback that they were getting that the boys were being told that they were really strong individual speakers, but ultimately their team case lacked a sense of cohesion. And therefore, what I did in terms of my action is I created an off-season training program for them. And I approached it like a sports coach would. We did a lot of drills, and these drills were focused on teamwork. So we did some active listening drills. We created some phrases to use when politely agreeing and disagreeing with each other. We created a team box when we talked about what kind of characteristics and behaviors we might want to see from a teammate who was putting the team ahead of themselves. And ultimately, what I expected to find was, or what I hoped to find, was that the boys would talk about how they developed a lot of teamwork skills and collaboration skills over the course of my action. But actually, I was really surprised with the findings. And what the findings revealed to me was that the boys actually spoke about how, through the course of the off-season training that I had done as part of my action, that actually developed friendships. And that was a really outstanding and, like I said before, surprising finding. It's not something that I anticipated at all. And something that I learned through my research was that boys, when they reach adolescence, they tend to abandon their close friendships with other boys. And a researcher who I encountered was Niobe Way, and I'd highly recommend listeners of this podcast to check out her work. She's a professor at NYU, writes a lot about boys and friendship. Friendships are incredibly important for boys in order to feel socially connected. And this social connectedness is a key marker of healthy masculinity. Additionally, as educators working with boys, we can actually facilitate these friendships through our classroom practice and also through our extracurricular activities. We as educators just need to be intentional in teaching boys about how to interact with each other in a team dynamic. And we need to teach them what Niobe Way calls relational literacy. We need to teach them the skills to actually interact with each other. And I think that it's actually really exciting for us as educators. We're in such a privileged position to be able to create opportunities for our boys to develop the social connectedness that will last long after their time at school ends.
Carla's research has shed light on the powerful impact of intentional efforts to nurture friendships and social connection among young men. Now, let's shift our focus to another dimension of positive development, compassion and empathy. Hugh Blood will share his action research journey, which took him and his students from Shaw School in Sydney, Australia, beyond the classroom walls and into the heart of their community, where they discovered the transformational power of service.
Hello there, my name's Hugh Blood. I'm the head of service learning at the Shaw School. The Shaw School is located in North Sydney, in New South Wales, obviously in Australia. Part of my implementation through my action research program was to take a small group of boys from one of the four boarding houses here at Shaw. I took boys that aged between 16 and 17 years of age from year 10 and year 11 in Barry House. Each week we take boys to a place called Rough Edges, which is a homeless shelter in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, about 15 minutes drive from the school here in North Sydney. I would take boys out there and serve meals, tea, coffee and cordial, tea and biscuits, and sit down and talk with patrons about their lived experiences of homelessness, mental health issues, addiction issues, and a variety of other issues that affect each of the patrons at Rough Edges. Through this experience, I was able to reflect and learn that boys can really develop and enhance their compassion and understand what people go through each day and really understand how what they did actually made a difference to the lives of those people and particularly the patrons they were serving. One of the second reflections that I learned through this action research process in particular was how by being empathetic and developing compassion, it actually affects the boys' well-being and certainly improves their self-esteem, their own sense of purpose and direction in their life, and in particular really build up the camaraderie and teamwork amongst the boys that were present each of the nights that we served. Finally, the reflection that I really took a lot from as well through this experience in taking boys serving each week at Rough Edges through that homeless shelter was in particular talking about how the boys developed their own sense of gratitude and thankfulness for what they had. As a positive male characteristic, this is really important for boys and young male adolescents to understand the circumstances they're in, to appreciate the opportunities and pathways they have, and the opportunities they have being afforded to go to such a school like Shaw as part of the International Boys School Coalition. Through this action research process and journey, taking boys beyond the classroom in a service program really developed and understood their capacity to empathise with other people. It really showed kindness and care and demonstrated characteristics such as compassion and empathy towards others. This is integral for most schools to really implement and ensure that boys have opportunities to develop these characteristics so that when they leave the gates of their school, no matter where they are in the world, they have some skills and abilities to interact with other people when they too become university students and later on when in the workforce as well. This is a wonderful program, one that's continued here at Shaw post the action research and developed a number of other opportunities through service in our community.
Hugh's powerful exploration of how service and empathy can shape young men's character leads us beautifully into our next researcher's work. St. Mark's School of Texas teacher Kendall Murphy takes us on a journey into the inner world of boys, exploring how a simple practice like journaling can have a profound impact on their psychological well-being and emotional understanding.
My name is Kendall Murphy. I work at St. Mark's School of Texas in Dallas in the United States of America. And I did my research project around journaling and its effect on the psychological well-being of fifth grade boys. So what we did, what our action was, is the boys took home journals and were asked to write in those journals every night for 2 months. The prompts they were given were, I feel, I noticed, I'm grateful for, but they're welcome to write more if they wanted to. On the day they took home the journals, they took a survey developed by world-renowned psychologist Carol Riff on psychological well-being. After 1 month, they took the same survey, and at the culmination of the journal writing, 2 months later, they took the same survey. The boys had no idea how this was scored. It's also very important to note that I never reminded the boys to write in this journal. This was a huge risk, but I wanted to see if the boys felt the improvement in themselves as well, and if they were motivated to do it themselves. So what I discovered is after the 2 month period, 12 of my 14 boys had improvements in their psychological well-being. Two of them did not. One of the two that did not turn in his journal. The other one only did 3 entries. So what we're looking at here is 100% of my boys who actively participated in the journaling process had improvements in their psychological well-being. When I took the boys after that to interview, I took them in groups of 3. I asked them questions, the same questions that were the prompts. What do you feel? What do you notice? What are you grateful for? To compare that data, I took the journals and made word clouds out of the most commonly used words. Then I took the interviews and looked at those most commonly used words. With the journals, we were looking at words like tears, perseverance, family, love, disappointment, encouragement. With the interviews, we were looking at words like yeah, kind of, happy, stuff. There's a drastic difference between the language in the two activities. So what I uncovered is that boys need an individualized outlet for their emotional well-being. So what are we doing at St. Mark's? We are taking this information. We are starting a journaling program in 5th grade. As soon as our boys walk on campus for orientation, we are going to start them journaling. We're going to follow through on this throughout the school year and see the effect it may or may not have on these boys. What did I learn about promoting healthy masculinity is so often about leadership in groups. Like we have our groups and we do leadership activities. We really put the effort forth. However, we're doing it in groups. Now, these boys in groups, we have the heavy sharers and we have the ones that aren't. What we need is an individualized outlet so that these boys can understand what sadness means. They can understand what joy means. So that if I, for example, am a boy and I feel sad, and then I see you and you feel sad, I understand how you feel because I've written it down and I've processed this feeling. So now instead of standing at the hole you're in and looking down at you and saying, come on up, man, I'm getting in the hole with you, being empathetic and saying, hey, man, I've been sad before. Let's get out together. So these boys need this sort of outlet in order to start understanding their feelings, in order to be these strong leaders that we expect them to be. I think that healthy masculinity beyond the classroom is extremely important. Our boys come to us and they really try to be their best selves in the classroom. They focus, they know it's a place to behave. But if we can teach them that the world is a place to behave, that the world is a place to be empathetic, that it's a place to display character, then we are teaching them skills that are going to give them ability to be leaders for the rest of their lives.
Kendall's research reminds us that promoting healthy masculinity often requires providing individualized spaces for emotional exploration and growth. Sarah Moss Holland from Marcelin College in Australia researched the fascinating realm of role models and their influence on boys' self-perception and values. Sarah's work highlights the critical importance of intentional efforts to guide young men in their identity formation and encourage them to embrace positive role models who embody healthy masculinity.
I'm Sarah Moss Holland, research leader at Marcelin College, Baleen, a Catholic secondary college in Victoria, Australia. My action research focused on the effect critical engagement with school values has upon Year 8 boys' personal narratives surrounding masculine role models, and this emerged out of three key factors. As a research leader, I want to make sure that the work I'm doing is making a real difference in my students' lives. Previous research at the school had highlighted a significant disconnect between students' role model choices and societal ideals of healthy masculinity. And our school was reconceptualising its values, vision and mission statements. So this project provided a real opportunity to incorporate student voice and agency. My hopes in conducting this research was that my action would enable the boys to engage in deep self-reflection, leading to greater self-awareness and authenticity, and importantly, discernment in choosing their role models. I chose Year 8 boys because they're in the critical stage of adolescent identity formation, where they're transitioning from early to middle adolescence and beginning to shape and consolidate their masculine identity. So what did I do? The project I had was delivered to the entire Year 8 cohort initially through a six-session program called Heart at Marcelin. Within this program, the boys explored the school's heart values, humility, excellence, acceptance, resilience, and trust, developing an evaluation matrix to define and apply these values in real-world contexts, and critically evaluating potential and existing role models. So while all Year 8 students participated in Heart at Marcelin, data was collected from 9 self-nominated students previously unknown to me who formed a consultative council. Together with these boys, we engaged in further workshops. They created personal narratives and participated in one-on-one interviews. I learned so much about myself, my school, and most importantly, my boys throughout this process. 5 key themes emerged from the data analysis, and they're detailed in my report, which can be accessed via the IBSC website. But in terms of what I learned about promoting healthy masculinity beyond the classroom, this project revealed that identity construction is not an isolated process and that promoting healthy masculinity requires intentional effort. Prior to my intervention, masculine role models were not deemed to be important or even consciously considered by the boys. And yet, by the end of the action, they felt they were better judges of a character and understood the importance of role models in shaping their future. So this project enabled them to understand how role models around them inspire them because it brought intentionality and the opportunity to think and reflect, leading to significant shifts in how they utilize role models to shape their masculine identity. I mentioned that I hoped this project would help my boys to become more discerning about who they chose as masculine role models, but what I found was even more powerful. Critically engaging with the heart values led to the boys adopting a values-first approach to role model influence. Instead of adopting role models and then shaping their values, the boys began with the values they wanted to develop and sought out the people who embodied those values. So this led to changes in who they viewed as role models or how they viewed them. The values-first approach led to the boys recognising a wider range of masculine role models, particularly going beyond just sportsmen, and having the courage to challenge traditional norms. Notably, 4 of my 9 boys identified females as their masculine role models in their narratives, which as an educator in an all-boys setting, a female educator, that is really empowering to know that I could be considered one of their masculine role models. So while not all boys changed who they saw as their masculine role models, 7 out of 9 students said they now view them in a new way as a result of participating in the project. Particularly those who chose sportsmen, they now look more deeply and intentionally at who the person is and how they behave both on and off the field. So it's no longer enough that they're the captain or a successful athlete. They now find more inspiration in how they demonstrate core values, particularly heart. So this project highlighted genuine and lasting shifts in the boys' perspectives. 6 months later, they still reference their experiences and reflect on their learning. However, it's not always easy. One boy in particular was profoundly impacted by the experience. And while he made considerable and positive shifts in his approach to his own masculine identity construction, he still grapples with the emotional impact of his realizations. Understanding and accepting our personal narratives is a challenging, highly emotive and ongoing process. So as educators, we need to understand that promoting healthy masculinity requires continuous, genuine opportunities for discussion and reflection so as to ensure lasting change and support for our young men who are reshaping their understanding of masculinity.
Sarah's exploration of how critical engagement with school values can influence boys' role model choices and self-perception highlights the power of reflection and intentional guidance in shaping healthy masculinity. Now, let's turn our attention to Marissa Sangvi, who will share her experience at St. Christopher's School in the United States of using improv games to foster a sense of teamwork and open communication among her students in a community service program. Marissa's research offers valuable insights into creating safe spaces where boys feel comfortable expressing themselves and exploring their own understandings of masculinity.
My name is Marissa Sangvi, and I teach upper school math at St. Christopher's School in the United States. In addition to teaching math, I run an after-school community service program for boys 14 to 18 years old, and it was with this group that I focused my action research. The goal of my action was to help increase the team mentality of the group. I wanted to create a feeling akin to what they feel when part of an athletics program. And my hope was that if they felt more like a team, then they would feel more motivated to do community service. So the group met 3 times a week after school to do different service projects, and then every other week we would get together for a reflection day. It was on these days that I implemented my action, which was to play improvisation games as a group with an emphasis on team building skills, and then after we played those games, we would sit down and have a discussion. My original intention was for those discussions to center around team dynamics and how this plays out in community service, but I was surprised and excited to find that the boys really wanted to talk about themselves and their own masculine identities. So that brings me to my first finding, which is that playing the improv games helped create a space where my boys were comfortable enough to have vulnerable and honest conversations. It quickly became apparent that they had a lot to say about the concept of healthy masculinity, but they needed me to give them a place to say it. In addition, I found through survey data from the season that these games and discussions really helped the boys feel more comfortable with each other, but more importantly, helped them see the group as a team. My second finding was that working as a team was not enough to help the boys feel ownership over the service they were doing. But they were able to articulate what would have made the service more meaningful to them and help them find intrinsic motivation to do service in the future. For example, they wanted the service to be more interpersonal. They wanted to meet the people they were helping and understand them better. Additionally, they wanted to return to the same place over and over again in order to really see the fruits of their labor. Going along with this theme, I was encouraged to see that the language the boys used to describe the recipients of service changed noticeably throughout the season. At the beginning of my project, the boys mainly used very general words like the homeless or impoverished people. But as the season progressed, they started referring to the groups of people they were actually meeting, like disabled veterans or even Curtis and his brother, referring to 2 people we met at a food pantry. And I think this shift in language mirrors the shift in understanding that the boys started to have around who their community is really made up of. So to end, I think the main thing that I learned from this research project is that boys, and especially older boys, are taking in a lot of information about masculinity from their surroundings. And as important as it is for us as educators to help them get good information, I think it's actually equally important for them to just have a space to think through and synthesize what they are hearing. I help them find this space by playing improv games, but there are so many other ways to do that, especially beyond the classroom.
Marissa's innovative use of improv games to facilitate open communication and self-reflection among her students demonstrates the power of creative approaches in fostering healthy masculinity. Now, let's shift our focus to the world of music and self-expression at Town School for Boys in the United States. Carl Kelvington shares his research journey, exploring how a choir for young boys not only nurtured their musical talents, but also provided a unique space for them to embrace their changing voices and develop confidence in their own vocal identities.
My name is Kyle William Kelvington. I teach at Town School for Boys in San Francisco, California, in the United States, where I serve as the lower school music and theater arts teacher. The action I implemented for my research was to create a choir for 3rd and 4th grade boys, ages 8 through 10. Recognizing the unique challenges and opportunities presented by the vocal transition phase, I established a program that not only accommodated but celebrated the individuality of each boy's voice. By focusing on prepubescent boys, the ensemble aimed to cultivate healthy relationships with their voices before the onset of vocal maturation. Our mascot at Town School for Boys is the tiger, and to honor the inventor of the laryngoscope, who was the son of a famous opera singer, Manuel Garcia, I named the ensemble Voce di Tigre. Voce di Tigre met every Monday after school for 12 weeks between September and December. Over the course of those weeks, the ensemble built routines, worked on literature, explored range, scaffolded vocal technique, practiced breathing, and were visited by male faculty members. During the last 15 minutes of rehearsal, the boys interviewed these men about their unique experiences in vocal maturation. This moment was designed to prompt the boys' preparation for voice change, make connections with the men whose voices they will subsequently imitate over the course of their maturation, model appropriate reactions to varied experiences, and teach them to approach themselves and their peers with grace when their voices change. During one of the faculty interviews, the boys expressed an interest in interviewing upper school students whose voice had changed or were currently changing. Thus, Voce di Tigre interviewed a panel of 4 eighth grade boys. The culminating experience for the action was 3 performances, 2 for their peers and 1 for their parents. The performance for their peers happened in a lower school assembly where the boys were taught the opening of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and the rest of the school in lower school sang the chorus. And this was a lovely moment where the boys actually got to become models for the rest of the boys themselves. 3 things that I learned during this process were, given the opportunity, these boys will invest in their friends, be supportive, helpful, and empathetic, and express understanding when other boys have difficulty, which I thought was really beautiful. Something that I learned from the research was that boys reflect on their future selves and model their voices off of adults in their realm of influence. Lastly, given the opportunity, older boys and adult educators will joyfully recount experiences, regardless of the positive, negative stories they may have to tell, ensuring either calm embrace of the change or fortification of self through overcoming obstacles. One of the most rewarding aspects of this journey was witnessing the boys' evolving attitudes towards their voices. Initially, many of them described their voice with uncertainty or negativity. However, as the program progressed, their descriptions became more positive and specific, indicating a healthier and more confident relationship with their vocal athleticism. Exposure to male vocal stories can play a crucial role in developing third and fourth graders' confidence in vocal maturation when singing in a choir. By hearing stories of vocalists who navigated through vocal changes and found success, the young boys learned that they have access to role models. It appears this exposure helps them envision their own potential and understand that vocal maturation is a normal part of their development. Learning about the experience of older boys and adults who have gone through vocal changes helped normalize the process for these young singers. They realized that vocal changes are a natural part of growing up and not something to be feared or ashamed of. In promoting positive masculinity outside of the classroom, if a boy comes to you with a question about their maturation, it doesn't have to be vocal. Let them have a platter of tales to draw from. Create spaces where boys have the opportunity to learn how important characters in their life may have climbed out of the awkward pits of despair and accepted challenges with grace and ease.
Carl's exploration of how music and mentorship can help boys navigate the complexities of vocal change offers a beautiful example of fostering self-acceptance and confidence. Now, we'll transition to our final researcher, Patrick Luck, who will share his insights into building empathy and understanding within New Zealand's Rathkeel College boarding school community. Patrick's action research highlights the importance of creating safe spaces where boys can express their emotions and learn to connect with their peers on a deeper level, ultimately fostering a sense of healthy masculinity.
Kia ora koutou katoa. I'm Patrick Gluck, a teacher at Rathkeel College, a secondary school in the Wairarapa region of New Zealand. In addition to teaching, I am deeply involved in our school's boarding system, where we care for over 150 boys across three separate boarding houses. For my action research, I developed a perspective-taking program for the boarders in our junior boarding house, aimed at fostering empathetic understanding within the group. Having been involved in boarding throughout my entire teaching career, I've seen firsthand the benefits it offers adolescent boys. Community living in a boarding house provides a unique setting for boys in their developmental years to cultivate pro-social values that help define healthy masculinity. However, it also presents challenges as boys are constantly navigating social interaction, banter, and at times, bullying. When a boarding student has a tough day at school, they can't retreat to their home. Instead, they carry their emotions into the boarding house setting. Boys and early adolescents often struggle to recognize and understand the feelings of others, making it difficult to empathize with peers who are feeling low. The goal of my action research was to enhance the empathetic understanding of junior boarders through a perspective-taking program. So over the course of a school term from July to September, a group of 23 boys met with me on a weekly basis to engage in various perspective-taking activities. Many of these activities were adapted from Project Zero's Thinking Routine Toolbox by the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Additionally, I used Mark Brackett's mood meter to encourage the boys to engage with their emotional states at the start and end of each session. These entry and exit cards proved effective in developing the boys' emotional intelligence over the course of the program. The most significant finding from my research was the value of creating a safe and supportive space where boys felt confident enough to express their emotions without fear of social repercussion. By establishing guidelines that guaranteed confidentiality, the boys felt secure enough to be vulnerable with me, their peers, and themselves. Another key finding was the importance of explicitly teaching the pro-social values and traits that contribute to our concept of healthy masculinity. Relying on boys to learn empathy implicitly or through osmosis risks them never fully grasping the importance of caring for their peers. This action research process was invaluable for both the boys and for me personally. Before this endeavor, I felt my own core practice with the students had become secondary to the many other responsibilities that all passionate educators take on throughout their careers. This process forced me to reflect on the boys' development as young men and allowed me to focus solely on improving their education. It served as a reminder of why I initially became a teacher, to impact positively on the lives of young people. To make a positive impact on the boys in front of us, it's essential that we prioritize and promote the concept of healthy masculinity in our school settings, both inside and outside the classroom.
So as we conclude this bonus segment of Balanced Boys, it's clear that the pursuit of healthy masculinity is a multifaceted journey that requires intentional effort and creative approaches. The educators we've heard from today have shown us the power of action research in driving positive change, not only within the classroom, but also in the wider school community. Their stories remind us that by fostering connection, empathy, and self-expression, we can empower young men to embrace their full potential and navigate the complexities of growing up with confidence and compassion. Thank you for joining us for this special bonus segment of Season 6, Episode 1. We hope that these stories have sparked your curiosity and inspired you to explore new ways to promote healthy masculinity in your own educational contexts. Remember, even small actions can make a big difference in the lives of boys.